Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
Welcome to Barbecue Nation with JT and Leanne After Hours, the conversation that continued after the show was done.
Hey everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Welcome to After Hours, and we've got the legendary John Marcus with us today, and it has been quite a pleasure and honor to talk to him. And we will do it more and more, I know, as the time goes on. Couple of fun questions I start with here, John.
Jeff, am I allowed to cuss more on After Hours?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Wide open.
Wide open, baby.
So the times earlier when I said shitty and fucking, those got beat.
The only one I made note of was the fucking. So I had to.
Okay. He's writing stars on a piece of paper.
Yeah, I got a little note and the time, and David will bleep that out. And other than that, everything's good.
Okay.
So, if we declared you, if Leanne declared you, put it that way, supreme ruler of barbecue for a week, what would you as supreme ruler decree?
That all barbecue should be cooked over wood.
Okay.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
All barbecue should be cooked over wood. I know it's harder. It might cost a little more. But it is barbecue, and it needs to have that kind of respect. That's a top one.
Sure, sure. Good. Now, here's one that's right near and dear to your heart. How would you change, if any changes, food shows on television?
One change I'd make is cancel every fucking one of them. They, honest to God, they suck. And they're like,
they're all the same.
All before. That's right. They're all the same. You know, more Leanne on TV.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's happening actually shortly. Yeah.
Leanne, where are you going to be? Where am I going to see you?
Oh, well, Jeff and I did Grilling in the Green, and it's we're cooking barbecue, and it's in tandem. Well, it's like a golf lifestyle barbecue show.
Oh, fantastic. What a great idea.
Yeah. So it's fun.
So it'll be a Golf News Network, whose gentleman named Ryan Ballingy owns it. And he's a friend of mine, and he's just cleared Roku, Amazon, Apple, Hulu, and YouTube TV is coming up. So they'll have their own channel on that. And we're part of the lineup. So
That's a great idea. That's a great mixing of the two.
Yeah, it's not competition. You know, it's just, you know, just having fun at the grill and, you know, chit-chatting.
And then we do a profile of somebody in the world of golf, not necessarily tour pros, but people behind the scenes or what have you. And I didn't tell Leanne this, but yesterday I did another show with the radio version with Charlie Reimer, who's a friend of mine, ex tour player. And now he's works for Hilton, and he's in there's a place called the Macklemore down in North Georgia, big resort. They're just finishing it. And we've been invited to go there, hang out with Charlie and play some golf and check everything out. So
love that.
Yeah. So it's all good.
I'm going to invite John.
Well, you can Marcus. Invite John. That would be good.
John Marcus is going to come. Do you play golf? Do you play golf?
No, my brothers do, but I've only been out. No, the answer should be no.
That's
but
fine.
But you should say yes, because that's how you get the invite to go.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Does it mean that I'll be playing golf?
No.
You can drive the cart.
I'm a great cart driver.
There you go. Okay.
And your choice of beverages. So there you go.
Okay.
Okay, John, if you could cook for and then dine with a historical figure, can be anybody in history,
Alive or dead?
Alive or dead. And who would it be and what would be on the menu?
I would want to cook for Sigmund Freud.
Hmm.
Yeah, you got a definite tie there with your...
I have a tie. I feel like I'm honorary, you know? And also, we share a love of fine cigars, but that didn't end well for Sigmund.
No.
No.
Well, it could have been the 5 pounds of coke at one time, too, that Siggy had a problem with.
That stuff I don't do, thankfully. But a fine Cuban cigar. But I would like to cook for him so to talk about just, you know, our love of good food and its meaning in our life. And he'd be a good guy to have those talks with. And, you know, then he'd send me a bill, but shit, I'd pay it. I would pay it.
Yeah, but it would be 20 francs at the 01 rate. So you're good. You're good.
I'm making sure my twin brother was trying to reach me and I hung up on
him. Oh, no problem. That's right. What's one thing you miss about your 20s?
Ooh. I miss my lack of wisdom.
So you think you were smarter when you were 20 than you are now?
I mean, oh. I had a lack of wisdom in my 20s and I missed being ignorant.
I see. I miss
my ignorance. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I miss because I was charging into things to do things and I wasn't scared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now I have the wisdom and it's like, oh, I'm not doing that again.
Yeah.
You know, whoever coined that term, ignorance is bliss, they had it figured out.
That's it's a great saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I know that's a slightly cynical answer, but, you know, definitely that. And I miss the way I slept.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. John, do you remember the first thing you got in trouble for as a kid, if you ever got in trouble?
I sure did. And it involved my twin brother, who we were just talking about. I got in trouble. We liked ordering things from the Johnson Smith catalog, it was called. It was a novelty catalog out of Indiana, I think, where you get all these little pranks and jokes and things.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember... My twin brother and I, we bought a fake dog poop. Incredibly realistic.
Yeah.
And I remember they called it Doggy Done It. And we ordered a Doggy Done It. And we were in Mr. Morris's math class. That was sixth grade. And he wasn't there yet. The class was full, ready to go. And Stanley put the Doggy Done It on Mr. Morris's desk. And when Mr. Morris sat down, I said, while you were gone, a Great Dane was here. And he didn't react at all. And huge laughs from the class, which is all that mattered. We got a big laugh. He said, I'll see you boys after class.
Mm.
And we got paddled.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's back in the paddle days. Yeah.
Back in the paddle days. And let me tell you something. I mean, I don't want to sound like, you know, so old school. And I don't want to sound like back to corporal punishment is what we need to go. I don't really feel that necessarily, but.
You learned your lesson.
I sure learned it.
Yeah.
I still can feel that sting when he gave it to us. So,
oh, brother.
I didn't put any more dog poop on any other desks.
I'm over 60 years old. And a couple of years ago at Christmas, we had a guest here who shall remain nameless. But I found on the internet a human version of that. And when they got up from their chair to go to the restroom, I put it in their chair. And when they came back, they actually sat on it and then they hopped up and it was a great laugh. I don't think they'll ever come back here, but it was fun. What's the biggest change you think that should be made in food advertising, John, if any?
The elimination of highly professional food stylists.
Oh my God, my sister's going to kill you because that's what she does, you
know. That's what she does.
Right. Okay, with the exception of your sister. But your sister's one of the good ones. And I'm
sure there you go.
She makes things look real as well as appetizing and appealing. Mm-hmm. But I think that I'm in trouble with that one. I got to.
I want to hear the truth anyway. I want to hear it. I want to hear it.
Well, I think that when food is starting to look like, I'm never going to go to McDonald's and get a burger that looks like it does on the commercials.
Oh, ever. Hell no.
Correct.
That's what I mean. I'm referring to that kind of food styling. Because we use food stylists on the shows. Mm-hmm. We have people come in on the shows and they help make things look a little better. You need it. But yeah, it's dishonesty. It's like, you know, like in my profession, working on these TV shows, these comedies, laugh tracks.
Yeah.
Food styling and laugh tracks are the same. And let's throw that one in there with it too. And then, you know, you don't have as many live comedies anymore. But there are ways to what they call sweeten a TV show where the laughter represents the laughter that you had in the studio when the joke was initially heard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we worked really hard to not bump it up, gin up the laugh track. We made sure, but most shows don't do that. So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you were saying in the regular show about McDonald's, you liked, and you just mentioned it about, you liked Egg McMuffin and all that and the Steve Martin joke. The one, and I agree with that, but the one that gets me is Taco Bell. I mean, their food costs have to be negligible because they've only got 7 ingredients that they make everything out of, you know?
Yeah.
And it's,
and my sister is a food stylist for Taco Bell.
Oh, there you go.
Is she really?
Yeah.
I'm so glad you just stepped in it, Jeff.
I did.
Now I feel a little better.
Where's that doggy dude?
You gotta send me her number so I can call her and apologize.
That's all right. She'll be fine.
John, what's the hardest thing you ever did, like professionally? Absolutely, number one thing that sticks out for you that goes, damn, that was tough.
Well, I you know, when I say this work was hard, I don't mean to deny the fact that there was joy sometimes and a great sense of accomplishment, because I think anything worth doing is hard.
Yeah.
Anything worth doing is going to be hard. So I would have to say my week to week on The Cosby Show was very challenging, because we were working with a moving target, often with the story and the writing. We had to punch up the show until the last minute. We were constantly, and the hours were relentless. So that's what I'd say.
Sure.
That was.
It's also people's expectations, because it was just so popular and they expected this, you know, the same excellence every single show. And that had to be stressful.
Yeah, my mentor in writing comedy, a guy named Earl Pomerantz, who worked, he was the showrunner to begin with on the show before he left. And we would just kind of stumble across the finish line and the audience would like, and everything was great about what we got done. And Earl would turn to me at the end of the taping and he'd say, you know, our reward for doing this is we got to do it again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, because if you're doing something right, you're going to be asked to do it again. So it is about our sense of personal best and excellence. And yeah, it's, but you get a lot out of that, you know, until you get to be a certain age and then you don't want that anymore.
No. What is your favorite movie? I'll just put it that way.
Oh my God. I'm going to name a couple.
Yeah.
Cause I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the way I judge this. If I'm ever walking by the TV and it's on and this movie's on, or I'm scrolling and I get it, I'll stop and watch. It can be a film where any moment is a needle drop moment. Anything that's in the film will get you to sit down and keep watching. Well, the top one for me is The Wizard of Oz.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it was gifted to us by other creatures from somewhere else. It's such a movie about innocence, It's a humanitarian film, humane. It tells a beautifully crafted story, and it was all done without CGI.
I know. Isn't that something?
They put a tornado in there. They use a hose. They use the lady's hose to make a tornado.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And I defy anyone to find a better tornado anywhere.
Oh, no. No.
Another one would be the movie Harvey, a black and white movie made in 1950 from the Broadway play that ran for 3 years and starring Jimmy Stewart. And his co-star was a 6-foot-tall invisible rabbit.
Yep. I still have one. Well, it hangs with me in the studio. And then
I got a rabbit. Well, no. You know, Jeff, one of the reasons that character saw the rabbit is he did a lot of drinking, you know.
Yeah. Well, I kind of cut most of that out of my life, but
good.
You know, it's those goddamn flashbacks you get. So
yeah, that's a bad side effect.
It's a
beautiful movie, and it's about things that I love. And there are a couple of monologues in that film that get
I'm
me.
Gonna have to see, I'm gonna. Is it still out there where you can see it?
Oh yeah,
you can look at it on Amazon Prime. I'm pretty sure that's one of the places.
I'll look around.
Yeah, black and white and old fashioned. And it's like he's in a small town that reminds me of my town as well.
Hmm. What's the first thing you think about, John, when you get up in the morning, besides how much you hurt?
How much I hurt and how much I could use another couple of hours?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the first thought that comes to me, I got another one. I just think I got another one. I got another chance.
Another day.
Yeah.
I really think that. I think like, oh fuck, I'm up, and I'm ambulatory, and I'm on food.
Yeah.
And I feel pretty good. Everything's checked out recently, so I apparently am in operating order. But I don't want to be as corny as saying I feel gratitude. Because, you know, I'm Jewish. You don't always feel gratitude.
That's good.
but I do feel some.
Okay, we got about three more here for you.
I am getting to the age, though, where occasionally I wake up and go, where am I?
Yeah.
there's that age.
Yeah.
I'm almost scared to ask this one. Boxers, briefs, or thongs? Or you can go commando. Oh, I don't care.
First of all, why the hell is thongs? Why would you include?
Yeah, that's the recent add-on. I don't know why.
Well, that all kind of stemmed from that Chris Lilly interview. Chris wasn't wearing a thong, but it just, my mind just kind of rolled from that one. So.
You know, it all depends on where my weight is. So I tend to gravitate toward, it's a mixture of, if they're called boxer briefs.
Right.
That's the popular answer these days.
Yes.
Yeah. I need the combo, I think. And you know what? There's a term in underwear that I need to bring up right now that I just learned. And because I like going online and buying, like, you know, I treat myself to something fancy. But this fancy, I won't name the brand, sometimes the front just gets a little bit kind of like shriveled, like the band.
Yeah.
Jeff, do you have this problem?
And you know, I'm here.
well, I mean. And it has a term. It's called baconing.
Really?
It's called baconing. When the front band of your underwear, that's why I was talking to him.
That's interesting.
Yeah, baconing. So I want to leave your audience with that. I just love the term.
I like that term.
Yeah.
You don't have any
problems with baconing, Leanne, do you?
No baconing.
No, I'm gonna really think twice about ordering a BLT though next time.
Yeah, I know.
If John, if you were an animal, what animal would you be and why?
Oh my God. I would be a bald eagle.
There you
and,
go.
Or as we used to pronounce it back in Ohio, a bald eagle.
Eagle?
You say eagle in Ohio. In central Ohio. Not eagle, eagle.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons is because when a ball, I have one up at my house up in the Hudson Valley, and I notice that whenever he comes out and lands somewhere, all the birds leave.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They all go away.
That's a nice feature.
It's a good feature. You know, you get kind of lonely as a ball. But that's a nice feature. Also, I love the way they fly. So I think I would be one of those. I'll tell you what I wouldn't be. I wouldn't be a horse.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I had a lot of experience with horses, and I think I would pass on that.
What's so bad about a horse? Just because people ride you?
I don't mind.
They're kind of dumb.
but it's more because those legs are fragile.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff can happen.
Yeah.
And also, you're primitive. You're quite primitive as a horse. You have a lot of things from. I took equestrian for about 8 months when I lived in Los Angeles, and I was starting to jump. And don't ask me why I did this, but you know, I hadn't discovered barbecue yet. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And I'm on the horse and we're jumping like 4 or 5 inches. And suddenly the horse rolled over and I got thrown clear. So it didn't roll on me. And I went up to the instructor as soon as I dusted myself off and said, okay, why did this happen? And he said it happened because you held the riding crop too high. And when a horse sees it out of the corner of their eye, they think it's a snake. And their instinct are to roll over on the snake.
That's interesting.
I think that's bullshit. But anyway.
It might be. It might be, you know.
I spent 40 years with horses, and I've never heard that.
Well, there you go. I'm glad I got to tell you that story.
There you go. Okay, last question. What would be your last meal on death row?
Oh, my God. Well, the main protein would be the 123As, the beef short ribs, the whole plate flat short ribs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cooked by Leanne.
No, thank you.
I'd want Leanne to cook them.
I'd bring a bazillion of them so you wouldn't have to complete that death row sentence.
bring me a lot. I would like, I would just like to have mashed potatoes with that and no vegetables.
There you go. And I will tell you, John, she makes a kick-ass vanilla wafer cheesecake.
Yeah,
you have to, have to try that.
I'm in. I would have that.
Yeah, so I'll make that for dessert. Okay.
There you go.
Thank you.
All right. John Marcus, Emmy Award winning writer, Barbecue Hall of Fame, Pitmaster. God, I'm really glad we got a chance to have you on the show. I've had so much fun today.
Oh, good. My pleasure. It's really good. And I have to tell you that, you know, the whole time that your picture was up there and I'm looking at these ribs behind you, I just got so hungry.
See, now you've got a hankering for ribs. So
I really do. Right. Yeah. This is subliminal. It really works like hell. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just don't call Al Franken for his ribs. Okay.
Right.
Al to this day is so pissed at me. He said, you've made a career out of trashing my ribs.
And you continue to do so.
I will not stop. It's one of my great pleasures.
With great glee, I might add. Anyway, we got to get out of here. John, thank you. Leanne, thank you. And we'll be back next week with another edition of After Hours here on Barbecue Nation. Go out, have some fun, cook some barbecue. Remember our motto, turn it, don't burn it. And please take care and be kind.